But now, as you get ready to go to school and to work, we head to the French Riviera, where the Cannes Film Festival has just opened. There are 18 films showing in the main competition for the Palme d'Or Prize this year, which will be awarded by a jury led by New Zealand director Jane Campion. Three Australian films are showing in various festival categories, but it's the opening night film which has got the Mediterranean town buzzing, and that's Nicole Kidman's film Grace of Monaco. Australian film journalist Ed Gibbs has just seen it. He comes blinking back into the light and joins me now from Cannes. Welcome to RN Breakfast. How do you get these assignments, Ed?
How does one get to enjoy Grace of Monaco? How much time do we have?
But was it enjoyable? What was the audience reaction to the film?
It was mixed. I have to be honest. It was mixed, and it's not a great, if I can be critical and put my critical hat on here, it's not a great film. But the performances are good, I should stress. But it's trying a little too hard to the director. Olivier Dahan is well known for La Vie en Rose, which is a wonderful film. And it sort of tries to sort of emulate that flavour. So the style, the production design is very much there. It's very lavish. It's beautifully shot, actually. But there's a dreadful script, unfortunately. Some perhaps is lost in translation. There's an awful voiceover which is sort of tacked on at the last minute or as an afterthought sort of thing. There have been very public disagreements with Mr. Harvey Weinstein, as many people will know, over the final cut of the film, and the US will have a slightly different version, we think, judging from today's news. So Nicole puts in a fantastic performance as Grace Kelly. Tim Roth is a curious choice as Prince Rainier, but one does warm to him. He does smoke an awful lot of cigarettes throughout the film. And there is a sense of very much of their relationship and trying to sort of get behind what, sort of brought them together, as it were, because it was when they were married, they didn't really know each other. And that sort of point, the film does get across, that it was in fact the crisis in 1961-62 with the French blockade with de Gaulle involved, of course, that sort of brought them together. And it was actually Grace that, in a sense, rescued Monaco from the brink of, being absorbed by France, in effect. So it does get that story across well and that message across well. It's just a little creaky, and there are some dreadful cameos. Roger Ashton Griffiths plays a truly awful, attempts a truly awful approximation of Alfred Hitchcock, and de Gaulle himself does appear, and yes, the audience found that rather amusing.
So it's not the full story of Grace Kelly, but it's just focusing on this aspect of how the marriage was brought to life well after the nuptials. Is that it?
Yes, 6 years into the marriage, and yes, it's very much a snapshot in time of a very interesting story. I mean, that many people will not know or will have forgotten. When Monaco did come very close to losing its independence as a sovereign state. Yes, 6 years in, the marriage, we're told, is in trouble, and there is a distance between the two of them. Grace sort of retrains herself in a way to become a princess. And there is the script of Marnie. Hitchcock did reach out. She did consider it. But the pressure that Rainier was under at the time pushed her to support her husband. And so, in a sense, it does reflect their true love. And it does that well. But the Grimaldi family have famously don't want to have anything to do with the film. They weren't at the premiere tonight. And there have been very public disagreements, shall we say, between the director and the producer, Harvey Weinstein, as I mentioned. But as a film, it just doesn't quite come together. It's not quite as bad as Diana, which some reviewers are claiming.
You're really trying to be positive here, aren't you? It could have been a lot worse. There are worse films.
Yes, that's right. But Nicole can hold her head up high, as always. But Yes, I think it'll sort of come and go fairly quickly, as did, unfortunately, Diana, which obviously starred her good friend Naomi Watts. It's funny, just these characters, these very well-known characters and very public characters who had sort of similarly troubled lives, in a sense, when they came into the public eye, they just don't seem to have found, the appropriate treatment on screen. Not yet, anyway.
Just a couple of quick questions, then. There are three Australian features in competition. What are they?
Well, yes, they're not actually in the official competition, but they are in the official selection. It does get a little bit complicated, it can, but they are David Michaud's The Rover, the much-anticipated follow-up to, long-awaited follow-up to Animal Kingdom, which is screening out of competition. There's Rolf De Heer's Charlie's Country, which is screening in a certain regard, and that's his sort of third and possibly final of the accidental trilogy, as he calls it, with the Indigenous actor, David Gullipool, which is a marvellous film. And there's also Zach Hilditch's These Final Hours, which is screening in Director's Fortnight, which is a very impressive film. Zach Hilditch's debut feature. He's from WA. So Australia has a very impressive showing here this year.
And what are the must-sees? It doesn't sound like Grace of Monaco is one of them, but what are the must-sees?
No, perhaps not. But there's a very interesting spread of films from around the world, actually. It's very, very global this year, I have to say. There's all kinds of films. Ken Loach has got his final dramatic feature here, Jimmy's Hall, which is in official competition. There's Mike Leigh's Mr. Turner, which is also screening in competition. David Cronenberg has a new film here, Map to the Stars. Atom Ogone's Captives, Ryan Gosling's directorial debut, Lost River, is also screening. There are many films. There's also a Turkish three-hour epic called Winter Sleep, and the Darden Brothers, 2 days, one night. There are many very interesting films here this year.
And so there seems to be a lot of American, a lot of British and European film screening, not so many Asian or Eastern European films showing. So is there a sense there's a lot of familiar faces, more familiar faces than new talent this year?
I think so, yes. I mean, I think the other interesting point to make is that because Jane Campion, I just want to just mention this while I've still got time, is that Jane Campion is the head of the jury this year, and the festival has had come under some criticism that they haven't supported female directors this year. And that could well change with the Palme d'Or, the favourite at the moment. This is a contentious favourite, but one of the favourites is from Italy's Alice Rowacha, if I pronounce that correctly. So, yes, they are supporting up-and-coming talent, but equally fostering relatively fresh talent. So it's a sort of a bit of a mix, to be honest. But like I said, a very generous spread in terms of internationally. It across the globe is represented very well.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out to tell us about it, Ed. I'm sorry you've got to suffer in the theatres through some of those films, but do have a nice glass of champagne along the way, won't you?
I will try it.
Australian film journalist Ed Gibbs, who's at the Cannes Film Festival.